strings on the hook.
Selfies and photos, a cry for help like it's made itself. Centered and selfish inside you, crying like a baby. Cause you lonely, it's only you thinking someone could save me. At times, I'm in solitude from my sisters and brothers.
Well, I'm sorry that we have to cut it short, not right. Hear the rest of it. But we are out of time once again for the week. Mike, welcome back to the States.
Thank
glad
you,
glad
you
had an excellent time, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
All right, man. Yeah.
Get some sleep.
Thanks, Sarah.
This is KBOO 90.7 FM, KBOO Portland. Up next is Occupy Radio. We're going to hear from Chaos Theory Podcast on the Occupy the Media Network. First, a little something you ought to know.
Thank you to all of our new and renewing members during our winter membership drive. That makes KBOO one of the best community radio stations in the country. We fell a few thousand short of our goal of 55,000, so if you didn't have a chance to give, it's never too late. Remember, for the month of December, if you become a new member or if you increase your giving over last year, your gift will be matched by a number of local businesses and individual donors. Donate now at kboo.fm/give. Thank you once again for being the best supporters a station could ever ask for.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the We Real Cool film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month is Ornette, Made in America, showing Thursday, December 17th at 7 p.m. Released in 1985, Ornette, Made in America, explores the rhythms, images, and myths of America seen through the eyes of an Ornette Coleman's imagination and artistic evolution over three decades. Again, that's Ornette, Made in America, Thursday, December 17th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to Chaos Theory Radio.
You can find us on iTunes by searching Occupy the Media, or you can go directly to the source by going to occupythemedia.podomatic.com, and you can find us on Facebook by searching Chaos Theory Radio. I'm David Getchy, Sierra Lupe. You can all call me Getch due to a preponderance of Dave's. From Occupy Medical, Real Herbalism Radio, PracticalHerbalist.com, and the Herbalist Manifesto, the gal with all the credits, Sue Sierra Lupe.
Hola, Health Crusaders.
Over there in Wisconsin, we've got the Chaos Theory Radio resident activist, Johnny K. Dangers.
Hello, everybody from Wisconsin.
And not to be beat, as in last but not least, Dan Marks of ArticleV.org.
Howdy from Iowa. Good to be here again.
Yeehaw. It's good to have you here again. And y'all might want to know what we're talking about this week. And in Freedom Fries, we're going to lay a little Finnish universal basic income on you. And in Gunmerica, our favorite NRA folk, Vicky O'Shea, is going to talk about the pouting woman from Michigan who got slapped for shooting at shoplifters. And in Cop Watch, we have...
Flag, throw that racist flag in the sky and wave it proudly. And the climate deal, well, we'll have to talk about that one. Negative emissions? As for back in the U.S. of A., a solar farm, will it suck the sun dry? We'll see.
I think it will.
I concur. I think it will, too.
We should.
And in Healthcare Plus this week, we have a coat hanger abortion.
Predicted.
Not something you want to see in America. And in this week in Forgotten History, we have 14 years after Howard Zinn's book, right after 9/11, called Terrorism and War. And it's back into focus again with all of the anti-Muslim behavior and war all over the place.
All right. Hey, Sue Sierra Lupe.
Yes.
Of Occupy Medical. How did things go this week?
Well, this week was exciting because we did get our award, and that was tons of fun. It was a little Woo-hoo! Ironic for us because we were given the award by the city manager, who was the exact same person that ordered a SWAT team to close out the camps, the Occupy and Whoville camps in our area. In such a way that naturally it required Occupy Medical's intervention, which is fascinating to be given an award for doing the patch-up work for something that he had ordered. But that's city politics for ya.
And you're so good. We know it firsthand.
Yes. So, and that's okay. I'm willing to acknowledge anyone on their journey wherever they may be, and if I'm willing to put a healing place for our patients, and I need to put a healing place for city officials as well, and I'm cool about that. I am not cool about this climate right now in Eugene, Oregon, in which people are being shut out of their campgrounds when they go to the emergency room, for example, as what we had with some of our patients. They came back, found all of their camping equipment had been stolen by the police, impounded. They had nothing but the clothes on their backs. They were able to find garbage bags, cut a hole for arms and for their head. And that's what they slept in after coming out of the hospital. It took a couple of days with work from Occupy Medical volunteers to get them their stuff back. So my thought for City of Eugene is either help us or get out of our way. We have a lot of work to do to help these community members. And I don't want city council or any member of the city government to be standing in the way of the health care that we are trying to produce.
That is terrible. They did the same thing out in Honolulu, actually. When I was living out there, they made homeless illegal
basically, in any public storage of items, they just put it in the trash. So
that's public storage.
Actually, when Occupy got started out there, it only exacerbated the problem. They got more aggressive and started going after everybody.
Yep, but you got to keep fighting the good fight no matter what happens, because eventually, if you are steadfast and justice is on your side, you will win out in the end.
Hey, Johnny K. Dangers, you got an update?
Hey, yeah, this week I was very closely following the big Paris Climate Summit. A little screwy hours, 7 hours ahead Paris is, if you're in Central Time. But they got a deal, and, you know, deal's better than no deal, but not a lot of teeth behind it. So I was disappointed there, and not a lot of celebration from environmentalists. And, you know, they laid another red line. That's 1.5. And from now on, anytime you see an environmental protest and action against some sort of terrible thing going on, that 1.5, it's going to be in every article, signs galore, because that says, we're going to hold you to your word. That's what you said. We're going to hold you to that. So one good thing came out of it. I think it really crystallized what needs to be done after the Paris summit. So I'm excited to do that on the ground.
And now, Absurd Theater, GOP Therapy Night. Group one, Mr. Cruz, Mr. Rubio, and Mr. Trump. Come on in, find a chair, please.
You expect me to sit in a folding chair? These are for peasants.
What kind of operation are you running here, lady?
Cowbunga?
Quit your griping. Just sit down and let's get this over with. I've got a campaign to run.
Rubio, your campaign is stupid. No one is going to vote for you.
Shut up, Trump. You're stupid. You're the whole reason we're in this counseling in the first place. If you hadn't pressed the anti-immigration thing with your Muslims should be barred from the U.S. rant, the GOP never would have mandated this namby-pamby shrink session.
Really? Gentlemen, please sit down. Mr. Rubio is correct in that the Republican Party asked me to meet with all the candidates in small groups as a sign of good faith to the voters. I am supposed to release a report stating that each of you is sane enough to be considered a reasonable leader.
Oakley doakley, neighbor.
Okay, let's keep the Simpson character impersonations out of this session, Mr. Cruz.
Nope.
We'll jump right in to the main topic, shall we? Now, what's the first thing you think of when you think of immigrants? Mr. Cruz.
Immigrants should be banned. It's bad for America. Keep those Spanish speakers out of the system.
Mr. Cruz, it's interesting that you should specify Spanish speakers, as your own father, Rafael, an immigrant from Cuba, speaks Spanish. Your name is also Rafael. But you go by Ted. Is there a reason for this?
You know, I just like Ted. It's my favorite name. My mommy calls me Ted.
Well, Ted, you're a goddamn immigrant.
Shut your mouth. You were born
in Canada. Don't give me that BS about renouncing your Canadian citizenship. You haven't even filled out the papers. You're an immigrant. Go back to Canada. Stop taking our jobs, hockey puck.
Calm down, Mr. Rubio.
Yeah, Rubio, talk about citizenship. Both of your parents are immigrants. At least I had an American mother, you cardboard cutout.
Looks like we got a bunch of criminals and drug lords right here in this room.
I beg your pardon?
All you anchor babies are pushed out of your countries because of your crimes. When I, Donald Trump, become president, I will deport the lot of you.
Anchor babies?
Anchor babies.
You should talk. Shut up, Trump. You're married to an immigrant.
Yeah.
Your kids are anchor babies, too. Ivana, are you going to deport them, too?
My children are full-blooded Americans. My ex-wife, though, yeah, I would deport Ivana in a heartbeat.
So this is about you wanting to get your vampire of a wife off your neck. You're throwing up the immigrant flag because you aren't man enough to have her taken out.
She has very good bodyguards.
Mr. Trump, are you suggesting that you plan to murder your ex-wife?
Hey, I'm the honest candidate here. I'd murder Cruz's mother if it bought me time on YouTube.
My mother? You want to murder my mother?
You should thank me. She hates you.
No! Mama!
Now, look what you started.
You Cubans are such babies.
Not take that back.
I will not.
Gentlemen, stop fighting. Mr. Trump, put down that chair. Mr. Rubio, give Mr. Trump his toupee back. No, don't. Do not stomp on it. Mr. Cruz, please get out of your fetal position and stop crying. I have to declare these guys fit for leadership. This is going to be a long night.
Our first dose of Tom Morello marching on Ferguson, bringing us into Freedom Fries. And in Freedom Fries, we've got just this one lone story about
sad and lonely
Finnish story. I mean, it's a story about Finland. It's not the end.
But we're starting with it.
It's a Finnish story. What
I'm confused.
It's a Finnish story about universal basic income.
Am I an immigrant or not?
It doesn't matter if you're an immigrant. You can still have universal basic income if you're in Finland.
Is that Ross Perot?
It did sound kind of like Ross Perot. Are you looking under the hood?
Under the hood.
Am I still alive?
not in the eyes of the cultural public, I don't think. I don't know. Trump's alive. Well, it's much to the pity.
Heyo, Freudian slip.
I think Perot is still around, though, isn't he?
I don't know at all.
I don't recall there being a state funeral or anything.
No. I'll take people who could be dead for 1,000.
Well, what do you say? Let's talk about Finland is going to give people something like
$800.
Well, 800 euros, which I think, I don't know. Euros are like more expensive than dollars. So, I mean, in terms of what we think, maybe it's like $1,000 a month. You know,
I'd say it changes the exchange rate. I'd say $1,000 is a good thing.
Yeah. So
not bad.
So
everybody, no matter if they got a job or not, they all get it.
That's right.
800 euros.
That's the whole point of universal basic income. There's different kinds of basic income, some which only give money to the poor, some which is like a negative income tax where. The poorer you are, the more you get, and the richer you are, it basically gets taxed out of your pocket, so it doesn't happen.
And we got a special message to all of our computers at the same time from Jim Jones saying he's got a special Finnish guest.
But shouldn't we have the Finnish guest at the end? Oh, sorry. Okay. So, Jürgen, how does it feel to know that you're going to get money for the rest of your life?
It feels good. You know, in Finland, we got a new universal basic income.
Uh-huh.
And what it means is pretty simple. I get to take an equal amount of money from every citizen of Finland and accept it into my home as mine, and I'm rich.
Huergen.
Is this Donald Trump version of Huergen?
Yeah, it's the Donald Trump version of universal basic income. Yeah. That's the American version of universal basic income. It's universal basic income for oligarchs and the wealthy, where they get to take all money from everybody and keep it for themselves. But that's not how it's going to work in Finland.
You need to
clean
your microphone.
Oh, yeah. It's all, my microphone's all wet.
I felt that in Finland.
Yeah, yeah.
Spit on me.
Shame on you.
That's right.
Spit on me twice. I better be faster at moving.
So,
an invitation to spit on him. I don't know.
I don't have long range spit capabilities, you know, and you can't spit through the internet yet. In the future, you can spit through the internet, not today.
I tried.
So, Huergen, you're not going to be rich. Okay, I think basic is one of the keys to this this term, universal basic income.
I'm already rich. I need more money.
Well, you see, that's the beauty of universal basic income, is that even if you're rich, you still get this 800 euros every month.
What? I only get 800 euro?
That's all you get, is 800 euros.
Toilet paper.
Well, for some people, it's going to be a lot. You know, and the way that works is, it's not, you know, say in if my household here, the one that I share with Sue Sierralupe and our family, were in Finland, we would get 800 euros per adult.
You get kicked out of the country.
Why is that?
But I repeat myself.
Okay. So
we'll never hear an
it would be hard to vacation.
Question.
I don't think so.
On $800.
No, yeah, but you know, we have three adults in our household.
What do I do with $800?
We can't
$800
your child's income.
They would each get money of their
All
own.
All of our children would
would get money.
Every human being.
Thing you could do with $800 is you get some food. Maybe you get small house, whatever
shelter.
Basic stuff. I'm rich. I don't need that. I need more.
Well, you know, there are people who are poor for whom that will be quite useful.
I think I was just talking about
my finance minister is calling.
Okay, well,
I gotta go.
See you, Huergen.
I was just talking about a couple.
Also, by the way, I can speak complete in normal English, so jokes on you.
Oh.
I was talking about Occupy Medical couple that sure could have used that universal income.
Oh, yeah. Well, I could imagine so. And we're a couple who could sure use it. We just shot our way into Gunmerica with Chuck Connors, the rifleman. And Gunmerica this week is a little bit of a throwback. I don't know if we actually covered this particular story, but it is. Is this a gal from Minnesota?
Michigan.
Oh, Sue, you want to take point?
Take point.
Yeah.
Okay, well, she was. So I'm
she was in a Home Depot. She was in a Home Depot parking lot. I know this much. I don't know her name, but she was in a Home Depot parking lot, and she saw crime happening.
Crime
happened, but she was packing heat. Mm-hmm. And when you're packing heat, and you see shoplifters getting away, you know, what do? You shoot at them, because you know shoplifters. They might have been like. Stealing somebody's life, you know?
Game over, man!
Totally.
That was a really good imitation.
That was. That was excruciatingly good. So, you know.
Excruciating.
This gal, Tatiana Duva Rodriguez, pleaded no contest to the October shooting of a reckless discharge of a firearm, and she was sentenced to 18 months of probation.
Yeah, so this is a story that we talked about a while ago, or at least touched on a while ago. She was in a Home Depot. She saw the purse snatcher. I don't think it was.
This is a totally different story.
I'm not talking about the Walmart story.
Okay, it was not a purse snatcher though. They were shoplifters.
I know. Okay. They were a shoplifter, and they were racing out of the parking lot. And so she just She just grabbed her gun and started shooting randomly into the crowd, hit somebody's tire.
Well, she actually did hit the tire of the getaway car. A little.
Excellent aim.
There you go. But you know what? You know what? This is really a time for us to get on the phone with our expert on all
friend.
Things gun.
Expert so, friend.
Yes, our expert on guns. Let's give Vicky O'Shea a call. Here, hang on a second here. There we go.
Hello, this is Vicky.
Hey.
Hello, is this Ted?
This is co-host of Chaos Theory Radio, Jim Jones.
Ted?
Welcome back, personal hero.
Are you, Ted Nugent? Ted!
Sorry, Vicky, this is Chaos Theory Radio. You are our favorite NRA spokesperson.
It's you guys again.
it's good to talk to you,
I thought I had
too,
you
Vicky.
Blocked.
Well,
can't block Jim Jones.
Jim Jones kind
is
of
something going on with her and Ted Nugent.
You were expecting a phone call from Ted Nugent?
I do not want to talk to this about this. This is none of your business.
Uh-huh.
You prying liberal podcasters.
I would imagine that's a little gamey.
What, Ted Nugent?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He is a godsend to America and to all womankind. You will not sully his name.
Well, so Vicky, we've got the story of Tatiana, the gal who's packing heat in a Home Depot parking lot, shot
yes.
at some shoplifters. You know that story?
I do know this story, and it's a travesty of what we in America call justice.
I know, really. She's just shooting randomly into the air, and she could have hurt.
Exercising her right.
Her Second Amendment
her
right.
right
yeah.
to be a trained militia. And
she was a trained militia of one.
Yeah, that is
vigilante.
Correct. But if you look at the photo, you might understand why. Now, let me point out that Home Depot parking lots are often places in which deep crime happens. And she took out her gun and stopped the crime from occurring. And now she doesn't have her God-given right to hold and shoot into a crowd.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a happy ending then, right there, Vicky O'Shea?
No. She is trying to do what every American should be doing. Every American man, woman, child.
Shoot at shoplifters.
Unborn child to shoot.
Wouldn't an unborn child shoot through its mother's belly, though?
Don't try to get this kind of disgusting health care on me. I don't even know how a uterus works. But I can tell you this.
Uh-huh.
It is important for everyone, born or unborn, to carry a gun. And if I become the president of the NRA...
The president?
I shall, in fact, make it necessary that we get tiny little fetal-shaped guns to insert into every female body so that every woman of childbearing age shall be able to have an armed American child.
Aye, aye.
Every Home Depot will be safe as far as the eye can see.
Oof. All right. All
this
right.
This is an idea that Ted Nugent gave me.
I just have to ask Vicky real quick here, too. I just saw this argument, I guess, online, and it said that if the child was in kindergarten and threw a rock at another child, would the answer be to give every child a rock?
That is a great idea.
All
yes.
Right. Well,
stoning worked in the Bible. It'll work for y'all. I'm getting off the phone.
And that is the sound of us visiting Cop Watch, where we have a heavy-duty dose of non-Harry Potter-related karmic justice to Daniel Holtzclaw, who was found guilty of raping 13 different African-American women, including a teenage girl and a 50-year-old woman. So he had quite the range of women he victimized. And y'all might have seen the video of Daniel Holtzclaw as he heard the verdict from the jury this week.
I think he expected to hear a nice round of happy birthday. Just kidding about this.
But yeah, I'm a cop.
That's your present.
Such a big joke for you. That's what he was expecting. He was not expecting the charge is rape. What is the verdict? Guilty. That's right.
Like 18 counts and 200 some odd years. It was
263 years potentially. Yeah. He hasn't been sentenced yet. But it is on the way.
Well, that's a lot of weekends to be going into jail.
Weekends?
I think he's going to be there weekdays too, Dan.
Well, we'll see. You know, police do kind of work these things out. You know,
really?
They still get to work and go in on the weekends.
Yeah, he can still go in. And,
yeah, how is he going to still be a police officer if he has to go to...
Oh, he's already been fired as a police officer.
They do
officer.
That stuff.
Yeah, but you get fired. Some
he's
other
a cop.
Department will hire him.
That's the way it works.
You'll
go down to Florida. Yeah, exactly, Jinx. Go to Florida.
We shall see.
Jinx is actually in Texas.
It was nice to see him squirm, though. I mean, there aren't too many people you'd really like to see, you know.
Right, exactly.
But that one was pretty good.
Yeah. I am not a fan of other people's discomfort, like you know, Ben Stiller movies. Well, okay, I you know, that's different.
You like Ben Stiller movies.
Yeah, and he is really uncomfortable to watch sometimes. But Holtzclaw, hearing that verdict, and what's interesting is the guy next to him, I guess he was his attorney or something, he's totally stone-faced, like, yep, okay, there's another guilty verdict, and just checking him off on the page right next to Holtzclaw. Well, Holtzclaw is breaking down into a gibbering mess, and the other guy is just like, check. Guilty. Check. Guilty.
I just won a bet with my wife that this guy was going to turn into a crying ball of snot, and I guess I get the $20 that she promised me.
Yeah. The thing
or you're
was...
probably thinking I need to call that publisher because now this guy doesn't get a cut.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's what it was all about. That's right.
Yeah, the thing about this case is a lot of people were super surprised because the jury was an all-white jury, and all 13 victims that came forward were 13 black women.
Right.
So not a, you know, a jury of his peers, not a jury of their peers. And so pretty much everybody was really surprised that he was guilty of most all of the counts. Like, you just guilty, you know, a lot, you know, over 200 years cumulatively. So...
Right. Yeah. And the thing is, I don't know why he didn't know it was coming, because he had a little meeting with his lawyer just beforehand. His lawyer put his arm around him and he told him,
I got a bad feeling about this.
He should have just figured it out, you know?
Well, you know, I don't want to even belittle what a monster this was, too, because I think there were over 30 counts that he was charged with. And then
counts,
they still suspect there were many, many more that were afraid to come forward, too.
Just the women who came forward. Yeah.
Horrible.
Indeed. Very much so. All right. Well, hey, it's time to leave Holtzclaw behind. We're not talking about NSA or computers or anything.
We're talking about Scalia.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court doesn't use computers. Video, they don't do any of that.
Well, thanks for that insight, Jim.
Yeah, only Mr. Jones
pads.
Here.
Uh-huh. So the story, we've got three stories in I Call this week. And the first one is Judge Antonin Scalia is so racist, he doesn't even know how racist he is.
Oh, hey. This is Antonin Scalia. Hey, you can call me Judge.
Don't even ask those questions. Just go with it.
Let's go with it. All right. Judge Scalia.
Yeah.
He's a snooker buddy
of mine. Do you like the head?
Yeah.
I like the head. What do you think?
So you like what? What do you like, Scalia? Judge?
The Pope's got nothing on my hat. That's what I'm saying. That's just what I'm saying.
You're looking good in your hat. Well, that's good.
But I'm not a racist. Let's get something straight here. That's not me. That's not what I am.
All right. So, Justice Scalia, do you ever do you ever start sentences this way? I'm not a racist, but.
Every so often, every week. Yeah. You could say, but, you know, I don't see very many minorities, you know, where I work.
Right.
In America?
I see one.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say, you can count. Does he not count?
And there's, you know, women. They're kind of minorities, too.
Right.
Maybe. Maybe it depends how you look at it these days.
Yeah, if you're looking at things like numbers, they're actually the majority of the population. But facts, who cares about facts these days, right?
Until you show me something different, that's the way it is.
I haven't noticed that being the thing that stops you. Now tell us a little bit about how you think that black people should go to slower colleges.
Well, the argument that was before the court was that the people that are going to college, they are subjected to affirmative action, and we give an advantage to the African American people, and then they go to these colleges, and then they don't do so well because they didn't deserve to go there in the first place. They're better off going to some slower institutions, you know, that are more the speed.
You are a sad, strange little man, and you have my pity.
I'm a justice over here.
So it might. I think that there's a group called the Precursors that are out of the University of Texas, and that was one of the colleges that you specifically named. That they feel that you're just a big fat racist. And the reason,
what are you going to do?
Stop being racist would be one start. But the thing is that they are a group of African Americans that started. They were the first. They started as the first black students were allowed into the University of Texas, and they've been together ever since then, promoting African American causes and helping students get adjusted despite all the racism that is there. And it is difficult to work in an environment and try to learn an environment once you feel constant oppression, but they've been doing a lot for it. So I am thinking that they have kind of the opposite feel about that particular topic as you do, and it's possibly because of their years of experience and study.
Well, and people tell me that these children thrive in these situations, but until I see it.
Whoa, Mr. Scalia, I'm getting a feed from Jim here.
Judge Scalia.
Siri, you have blackface on right now.
It's sunny. It's sunny out.
Mm-hmm. What? Why? Why? You're sitting in you're just casually watching TV with your laptop open, talking to us. And what?
So I don't know, Scalia, Judge. We're going to have to move on. Though.
Yeah, I've had enough of you anyway.
Right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I can speak for everybody. I think we're going to ban you from the show.
No.
Hardcore. I suppose. Boy, yeah,
no,
what are you going
to
do?
We would love to have you back. We would love to have you back, sir.
Unless Jim patches you in again in the future.
Right. Yeah. Well,
sayonara.
See ya, Judge.
Yes, you'll see you this ad.
Yep, all right,
Johnny K, are our fountain of information with regards to
climate.
The COP21 climate and all that kind of stuff. So why don't you lay some of that on us?
Nice. So we got a good science fiction story to read off tonight. So, things are going good. Everything's good. Earth is getting better now. Solved every problem known to man.
So that was that
the terrorists. They were getting at us, you know, and we all met in Paris, and everything's good.
So you remember in the movie The Matrix where they made the version of reality that was perfect, and everybody kept waking up.
Mr. Anderson.
He was one of the guys who woke up. You're reporting from that fake reality right now, and that's not the reality we're living in.
Am I?
Yes, yes. We're in the one where
wake up, man! Wake up!
Wake up! Pull the thing out of the back of your head. You know what we got going on here, Johnny K, is a major corporate polluter deal that is being sold to us as an amazingly good bit of statescraft.
I am seeing that now that I look at this new information.
Yeah, you know, anytime you need anybody to just sort of slap a little environmental climate, you know, reality sense into your head, you just come to me, Johnny K.
This is very disappointing.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so get this. Somehow we're thinking they're going to come up with a deal that's going to fix, you know, we're going to slowly draw down our emissions, listen to the scientists. What any rational person would think they would do, a deal that would work.
It's the old, we're going to do some studying on this topic. Is that what we're going on with here?
Yeah, what they did is they signed a deal that's non-binding from much of the 31 pages, which means that none of the countries can be held to account. And scientists have said, even with this deal, we would have between 3.1 and 5.2 degrees Celsius in warming. So they James Hansen said this is a farce. Like this is a joke. They write in the preamble, we're at 2 degrees under, and they had the gall to say we're going to strive for 1.5 degrees. In the deal itself, best case scenario is like over 3 degrees Celsius, where 50 countries in the world are completely under the water, you know, in 100 years, and just nothing. So the funniest part of this, though, by far the funniest part of this deal is negative emissions. What?
I think I have negative emissions every once in a while when we go out for burritos.
You're supposed to leave the room when that happens.
I know. I try to.
Yeah, I expect negative emissions from, like, Jim Jones, but...
You talk about the climate agreement.
Yeah, this is crazy. Negative emissions are – they literally think that in the future we will create technology to suck the carbon out of the air.
Well,
that sounds like some science fiction to me.
Well, you know, I have a shop vac, and it is really powerful. So maybe the plan is that they're going to just give everybody shop vacs.
That is a really good idea.
A really
idea.
Big, sharper image.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Francois Hollande. Are you there?
Francois Hollande?
I've heard you have a new technology you've invented to suck the carbon out of the air.
Breaking Giant shop news. Vacs.
Just got a text alert.
Giant shop vacs with really good filters.
We have a new climate deal. Have you heard?
Yes, we have heard about that, Francois.
So everybody's standing with the planet. I hear.
Is I said I was going to finance Africa countries' new climate deal. So I'm going to use that money to buy your idea for $1 billion to help them. We're not going to give it to them. We can't trust them.
We got money coming. That's all right.
We are going to
I will sell you my shop vac for $1 billion.
No, prototype. We will give you $2 billion for the current shop vac and a new prototype. It won't work, but will put us on the path to a brighter future. Can you do this?
I can find an abandoned water tower and put a nozzle on it. Would that do it?
No.
Okay, a hose. A hose.
How many
and a nozzle.
Billion for sponsoring the show?
Well, I'm working
I'm
on a deal
in,
here, Dan.
$2 million.
Okay, we got the show covered. Good job, Dan. All right. Well, hey, Francois, it's been good talking with you, but we got us a little bit more to cover.
This is serious, Getch.
I
need
totally
this vacuum now.
Okay, well, tell you what. You need to just talk to my folks, okay?
My folks will talk to your
okay,
folks.
Okay, I have some head bashing to get back to.
All right, very good.
Hear that, Mr. Anderson? That is the sound of inevitability.
That's what the whole climate thing is, just raining down all kinds of inevitability. Hey, did you guys hear about the U.S. town that voted down a solar farm? And do you know why?
Is it because... because it was too close to a gas station.
No, neither case. Neither case had nothing to do with gas stations or immigrants. Dan, you want to take a guess?
Did they think that it would suck up all the energy from the sun?
Ding, 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 ding.
What?
No, wait, did I get that right?
Oh, you did. You did.
Yes.
I didn't hear the story, though. Please tell me.
It's a terrible one. There's a couple of sources from this. The one that I'm currently reading is from the Roanoke Chowan Herald. This is from December 8th. The Woodland Town Council rejected a proposal to rezone a section of the land north of town to manufacturing from residential, which denies the approval of a solar farm.
But you know what? I believe we actually have the science teacher from that town, Jane Mann. We've got her phone number. Let's give her a call. What do you guys say?
All right. Let's do that.
I already got her number, but go ahead.
Hello?
Hello, Jane Mann, science teacher from Roanoke?
I am the retired Northampton science teacher.
Ah, excellent. Well, so, Ms. Mann?
Yes. It is ironic, but that's my name.
Now, so you are the science teacher. You have fostered a great desire for learning facts and figures amongst your students for decades, I assume?
Yes. I like science, and all the science that I find in the Bible I share with my students.
There we go.
Bible science.
Is that legal?
Yes. It's America.
So
it's legal for women to be science teachers?
Shut your mouth, young man.
I'm an old man.
I shit, not compared to me.
So Ms. Mann, what's up with convincing everybody in your town that they should vote down a solar power grid because it would suck up all the energy from the sun?
Well, you see, what happens is plants have this thing called photosynthesis, so they need to have the sun. In order to make them grow big and tall.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so that's good. And the sun comes up every day.
Got me so far.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It comes up in the sky, as it says in the Bible. Sometimes it stands still for a day or so. And then it sets in the west.
Okay. And so you realize there's a lot of sunlight.
A lot. Not all the time. Right now, it's winter, and you notice the days are shorter. Where did those days go? Solar panels. They are sucking up the sun, causing it to be darker. What happens? We'll bring out the ruler. What happens is that the sun goes away, and what do you see with the plants? They're brown. They're dead. If you just look outside your door or your window right now, you'll see what? Darkness. The plants, they're asleep. They're trembling. They're afraid.
If you
put the solar panels up, we'll have no more sunlight at all.
Is this
it
for
will
real?
Be the age of darkness. It will ascend upon
Game
us
over,
all.
Man. Game over.
A living hell. A living hell for us all. I am trying to save you and your souls.
Where do you live so I can avoid it forever?
I want you to go turn off your radios now. Go to your rooms and pray that the light will return again. Go now.
Okay.
I'll get off the phone. I'm going to pray.
Ma'am,
are you in a cult?
Have you been checked recently?
I just taught you now, didn't I?
you teach at an actual school with real children in it.
I was just overdosing on stupid science, and I had to just fling some Tom Morello our way to break the spell. I feel like it worked, too. Do you guys feel more intelligent now?
Not after that last phone call.
No? Some of your brain is still sucked out?
With the setting of the sun, yes. Uh-huh.
It'll come back. It'll come back.
Yes. Absolutely, I feel much smarter.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. Dan, I was waiting for you to just sing, chime in there with Tom.
You are the singer.
You're our favorite singing dude in the show.
Dan, you are my sunlight in my life.
From Sean.
That's because you've never heard me sing.
Uh-huh. Well, hey, you know what?
We must need have to tell... a beautiful voice, Dan.
We need, Dan has a lovely voice, and we need to tell people how they can hear Dan's lovely voice on a regular basis.
I was told I'm here to sing a birthday song.
Oh, well, Sean, that is a good idea. Sean, are you going to sing Happy Birthday to Chaos Theory Radio?
I thought it was for somebody else.
Nope, it's for Chaos Theory Radio. So go ahead, just rip right into it there. Happy birthday to Chaos Theory Radio. Happy birthday to Chaos Theory Radio. All right.
Happy birthday, Chaos Theory Radio.
Yeah?
How old are you? Take a drink of gin. Don't spill it on the dog.
All right, that was a touching rendition of Happy Birthday, which is now
how old are you?
Free for all of us to use, by the way.
Ha-cha-cha.
Yeah. That's a side story, though. Warner Chappell can no longer charge millions of dollars to include a Happy Birthday in movies and radio.
So it's free.
We get it for free. Yeah,
we're
we can
free.
Sing that all we want.
That's a close one.
Yeah, I was worried we're going to get a bill.
Yeah. Yeah. So now if you want to send a bill to Chaos Theory Radio, don't. But if you want to reach out to us, you could reach out to us at chaostheoryradio23 on gmail.com. And Johnny K, what's our Twitter handle?
It's Sean Connery, not on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Thank God.
Yeah.
And our Twitter handle is the brand new at Chaos Theory Now. You can find us on there, along with Johnny K. Dangerous, Sue Sierra Lupe, Dan Marks, and on Twitter, he's DS Getch.
That's me, not Dan Marks. I'm DS Getch. And if you guys want to give us a hunt on iTunes, you can always look for us under Occupy the Media. You can go to occupythemedia.podomatic.com. You can search Chaos Theory Radio on Facebook. And you could come to mine and Sue's house and bang on the door. No? No,
no.
Sue says
I will
do not
do
come to their house and bang on the door. Sorry.
Not.
You know, I was on a good hunt movie, The Hunt for Red October.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that.
I was also in The Rock.
The Rock.
Where I gloriously escaped Alcatraz Island.
So you were in The Rock. Is this like, are you admitting to a homosexual relationship with Dwayne The Rock Johnson? Is that what you're doing?
Oh, Dave.
Oh, sorry. I just watched San Andreas the other night.
I am an 85-year-old man who was once voted the sexiest man of the century.
You were?
Well.
Why do you demean me? I'm just kidding. Happy birthday, everybody. I need to go. I've only been paid for 3 minutes of time, and I've gone over already.
All right. See you, Sean. And what Sean is actually bringing up is on December 14th, we're recording this. And on December 14th last year, I hooked up with Liz Myers and Jerry Bolcom of Air Occupy, formerly one of the shows of OTMC, Occupy the Media Collective. And I think, Dan, you joined us. You definitely joined us within a week or two if you didn't join us on that first show. We went live.
Pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, we were live on Blog Talk Radio.
One show before, at least.
Oh, okay. Well, that would have been the one that I did with Jerry and Liz. And somehow we lost them
along the way. I had to hear it and go, man, I got to have an interview with this guy.
I got to be on this show. That is so good. And you joined us, and that was a beautiful thing.
Yes, it all was. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. But you know what? We're lingering.
It's archived.
Too much. We are. I'll
we're
look
not
it up.
Lingering. I used to be a milkman in Edinburgh.
Okay. Susie or Lupe, how can people reach you?
They can reach me on occupy-medical.com. They can reach me at thepracticalherbalist.com. They can reach me at Real Liberalism Radio, which I have another podcast that we talk about herbs and health and healing. And they can also reach me Facebook or Twitter under my own name pretty easily. And the Herbalist Manifesto, in which I have our scripts from Absurd Theater written out.
And Dan Marks.
Ooh, nobody my voice is wants changing. To talk to me.
Oh, we do.
No, you can reach me on Twitter at DanMarks99.
Very good. And
pretty easy.
Johnny K. Dangers.
I'm not an M-A-R-K-X. I'm a K-S.
Yeah, you can find me, Johnny K. Dangers, on Facebook and Twitter. And I think Sean's got a going. He's here with me. He's got a going away goodbye.
So. Okay.
No, I don't. I just, you can reach me. Send me a postcard, SeanConnery.com.
All right, chaos theory fans. We've got an assignment for you this week. Sue is putting forward ideas for the transition music into Healthcare Pulse, which is what we're doing right now. And the top three candidates right now are the theme song from MASH.
The theme song from Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy.
Theme song from Scrubs.
All of which comes to mind. We actually don't have the rights to, so maybe we might have to come up with something else. But give us your feedback. What noise? What sound should we head into Healthcare Pulse
sound?
With? That could be it.
How do I turn this off?
All right. Well,
press
it's
the red
off.
Button. Press the red button.
Let's go into Healthcare Pulse, Sue. This is our very brief I told you so version of Healthcare Pulse.
This is the I told you so version, in which last week, sadly, we were talking about Texas and how women were inducing their own abortions with mixed results, because obviously that's being reported. And what I said at the time was, and look for stories about coat hanger abortions, which was kind of an iconic thing from the 50s and 60s. And unfortunately, here we are. It was an unfortunate prediction come true. In Tennessee, a woman nearly dies trying her own coat hanger abortion. And ended predictably. The other little slap in the face to her is that now she is being tried for attempted murder.
All right. Last dose of Tom Morello this week on Chaos Theory Radio, bringing us back into Johnny K. Danger's outspread arms. And a little bit of forgotten history inspired by Howard Zinn. Johnny K. Dangers, take it away.
Hey, everybody. So we got a very interesting forgotten history this week. Almost 14 years ago, Howard Zinn published his book, Terrorism in War, right after 9/11. And his remarks are very sharp, cutting, and sadly very accurate. And his book's not very widely read, like many of his other ones are on the left. But we're going to revisit a few key quotes and reasons why it's definitely something you should check out. And
all
the
right,
first being is, quite amazingly, actually this is a reviewer, left an amazing post about the book, and he goes, Howard Zinn puts forth two very important points in this book. Firstly, governments lie. And secondly,
shock!
War is another form of terrorism.
Well, no, those ones are pretty well. I think they're both pretty popular on social media these days. Is that what it took? It was we needed social media for us all to reach that conclusion together?
Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of pictures of a lot of terrible things. Maybe get you to think a little bit about it. For some people, though, it has an opposite effect. They see that and they think we should be doing more to prevent it. not understanding we're kind of causing it in the first place.
Right. Yeah. You don't fight terror with terror. You increase terror with terror.
And he has something works. That's super important. We seem to be all this anti-Muslim rhetoric, anti-immigrant rhetoric. And we've kind of lost focus of like really assessing the issue. And he has an amazing quote in the book. It says, to try to explain and understand terrorism is not to justify terrorism. But if you don't try to explain anything, you'll never learn anything.
All right. You got any more profound thoughts coming out of Howard Zinn right now, JKD?
Well, he had quite a few amazing quotes you've probably seen. Probably a lot of the time they don't get attributed to him from this book. But one of them that definitely sticks out is a huge deal with all that's going on in the Middle East. And he goes, exposing the war on terrorism, because we see this, there's a war on terrorism, and we use it less now, but he really kind of lays it out there where you kind of go, whoa, where he says, there's a precise division between who we bomb and who we don't bomb. Division has nothing to do with which countries are harboring terrorists. The division only has to do with which countries we don't control yet. The countries that we control, like Turkey and Saudi Arabia, can harbor as many terrorists as they want.
This is KBOO Portland. You've been listening to Chaos Theory Radio from the Occupy the Media Collective. Up next is Hard Knock, but first, some info just for you.
Cable Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of music, nature, and storytelling, an experiential weekend workshop from January 8th through the 10th at Cedar Ridge Retreat and Conference Center in Vernonia, Oregon. Storytelling as a practice broadens our perspective and helps us understand the significance of our experiences. This workshop teaches the roots of storytelling and delves into the storyteller's mind. No prior experience required. And the deadline for registration is December 18th. Again, that's Music, Nature, and Storytelling, a weekend workshop January 8th through the 10th at Cedar Ridge Retreat in Vernonia, Oregon. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.